Hello and welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening. Our guest is Brooke Costley. Brooke is an assistant coach on the Wichita State women's basketball team. She was hired in April by Coach Terry Nooner, who has coached her since she was a youngster. Brooke played at Emporia State. She comes to Wichita State after coaching at Texas A&M Commerce, North Dakota State, and Emporia State. So, Brooke, let's start. Tell us about choosing Wichita State to continue your coaching career.
Yeah, I'm excited. Terry reached out to me about the job, and I couldn't say no. I think it was a great opportunity to work with family, and then I know, like, the rich history at Wichita State is rich, and there's a lot of success, and just coming back and being close to home, it was just, like, a no-brainer to come back and just build something new here.
So Terry coached you, I think he said, age maybe 10 or 11 with the Missouri Phenoms. What was it like being coached by Terry Nooner at that age?
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was really fun. You know, I think I have a lot of memories back to those days, ups and downs. But he kept it really light, kept it really fun. And it says a lot that I'm working for him today, 10 plus years later. But, no, a lot of memories with him. I think the way he is now, it's funny because he's the same way he was when he was coaching me back in the day, the same drills, you know, tough, he's going to challenge you. I just remember doing those drills and wanting to just walk out the gym sometimes because it was so hard. But I think because going through all that, he kind of made me who I am today, and I'm excited to work for him.
What's your favorite Terry Nooner drill?
Man, I wouldn't say I had a favorite.
What's your least favorite?
But what I do remember is we did the Indian drill multiple times in the court around the gym. We did the Indian drill. I don't know when we would stop, but we just kept going and going and going. So I don't know why I remember that one, but I do.
Do you have a least favorite drill?
That is.
That's the least favorite. Okay.
Yes, to be honest.
Describe that drill for us briefly.
We would just run, and we would just have to sprint, like you just run in a straight line with the team, and then you'd have to sprint in front, and we would just do it for a long time. I'm not sure why, but we would. And I remember running 33s. We still do that today, running those 33s.
And those are sprints?
Those are sprints, yes. So three down and backs, six touches.
Anything to do with running, basketball players seem to not love, even though it's good for them.
Right, yeah. Right. I felt like we were doing track.
So take us back to playing at Emporia State. Did you always want to go into coaching? Was it something that hit you at some point during that time?
Yes. So I always knew when I went to college I wanted to coach. So my dad was a high school coach. And basically since I was born, he has coached me, or he was a coach my whole life. So I kind of knew that's what I wanted to do. And then when I went to college, you know, I was like, I'm going to get a degree. And I didn't really have a plan B. Plan A was to coach, and that's what I was going to do. And here I am.
Why? What was it about the coaching life that appealed to you?
Just watching my dad. It was just fun. I just felt at home, always in the gym. You know, it's an active job. I didn't have to sit at a desk all day. I think that was the big thing, just being able to be active. I just love the game. I watched the game all the time. Watched so many games, obviously, watching my dad's games and watching games on TV, that it just felt right. And so I got the opportunity. I started my coaching career earlier than I wanted to. I didn't get to finish basketball at Emporia State because of injuries. So I just got into it sooner. Jory Collins offered me a student assistant and then a GA position for him. So I'm really appreciative of that. And just got me into coaching a lot sooner than I wanted to. And it's just been going.
So you played at Emporia State and coached at Emporia State. So that NCAA Division II experience, how do you think that has helped shape your coaching journey, your coaching philosophy?
I think it's helped a lot. I think it makes you realize, just to be appreciative of things. I think the NCAA is one of the best D2 conferences in the country. It's very tough. You know, every single night you had to go in and compete at a high level. There were no days off. I think that was the big thing. And being at Emporia, the standard was so high. I think that's the big thing. You know, there were no cutting corners. Every day was a challenge. Practice was always going to be tough. And then the games were always tough. So I think what made it so, why we had so much success, was because the practices were so hard. And then going into the games, they were a lot easier. So I think that's just something, you know, coming into today and coaching, like making practices as hard as you can, so that once you get in the games, it's kind of easy.
Right. So the MIAA Central Missouri State's recently run a national title, mm-hmm. and Emporia State would have won a national title with Brandon Schneider as the coach, and he is now the coach at the University of Kansas. So all these connections become apparent. So the Shockers are about a week, a little over a week into summer workouts. How do you go about starting it and getting all this new group comfortable with each other?
Yeah, I think it's just going to take some time, you know, just getting in the gym with them. I think they're going to realize, you know, we're going to be tough. We're going to challenge them every day. There's no going to be cutting corners. And I think it's just refreshing for them. It's just a new, you know, just a new staff. And we're excited. They seem pretty, you know, pretty excited. But I think the big message is that we're just going to compete every day. Compete every day at a high level, challenge each other, come in and just be great. That's all we can ask. As long as you're working hard, that's all we can ask. Everything else will cover itself.
So you have 9 returners. Who are you leaning on there to help with this transition?
Yeah, you know, I know DJ had a lot of success last year. I think she's, you know, older, so that's kind of the leader of the group, and I'm going to challenge her to kind of lead as far as with the guards. And then, you know, we're bringing back some pieces. You know, Danny's going to be a big piece for us. She's, you know, been with us for about a week in the spring, really talented. And then, you know, you're bringing Lala, who just brings a lot of energy, high motor. So we're super excited about that. And then, you know, you got Anaya Janaya, who I think they're really excited. They, you know, want to learn. They're engaged every day. So I think everything's going to fall into place. We just got to get together and just all get on the same page.
So team building is important in these situations. I understand you went bowling recently. Who's the best bowler on this Shocker basketball team?
I think Ella and Treasure are up there. And that's the funny thing about this group. They compete at everything. Everything's a competition. They talk a lot of smack to each other, which is fun. Same thing they do on the court. But Ella and Treasure are up there.
First picture or decoration you put up in your office, or is there one that you walk in and you say that's particularly significant or meaningful, or maybe that's what I show to a recruit and their family when they come in?
Yeah, so I guess I have 2 pieces. I haven't done a lot to my office yet, but I have my family, a picture in there. You can kind of see it just so that they walk in and just see my family. And then up top, I painted a picture. I just went to a painting class, and I brought it because it's, like, pink. I like pink and purple, and it just brings a lot of life into my office, so you can see it as soon as you walk in. Just, you know, showing I do like art. I do like to draw, so it just shows my creativity, and you can't really miss it since it's pink.
Okay, so art class. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about that, or the drawing. Is that what you do more of? What kind of drawing?
Yeah, just sketching, drawing. I don't really paint or do any, like, coloring of my drawings. I just draw, but I did that at a painting class.
Best memory from your playing days at Emporia State?
That's a tough one.
Beating Washburn? That's the big rivalry, right? Would that be one?
Yeah, you know, beating Washburn's always good. I think we beat them my 4 years there. All my 4 years there for sure. So that's always a big one, to especially going into Washburn and leaving with a W was always big.
Okay. Who is the basketball player? Maybe it's somebody in the WNBA, somebody in the NBA that you like to share with your players and say, watch this person, you can learn from this basketball star.
Yeah, one of my favorite players is Diana Taurasi. You know, I know she's kind of a veteran now, and the game's changed a little bit, but that's just my player. I've just liked her since I was little. I remember watching her at UConn in the Final Four. But for her standpoint, you know, just being a competitor, just watching her.
She's now with the Phoenix Mercury, correct?
Yes.
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 Okay, that's a good one. You may have just answered this. When you're not coaching, hobbies, how do you maybe get a little respite from the grind of coaching and recruiting and video and all that?
Yeah, and that little free time, I'll watch Netflix, you know, whatever's popular. And then, you know, just doing some drawing. It's relaxing. Nothing crazy when I can, or sometimes I like to do, you know, home DIY activities as far as just like something to hang up in my apartment. It's cheaper just to do it than to go buy something and just create it myself.
Who wins a game of horse on the basketball coaching staff?
Me, for sure.
That's exactly what Terry Nooner said, so you're checking out.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, very good.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Brooke, let's wrap up like I like to with a lot of people. Do you have a book recommendation, movie recommendation? What would you tell the people to check out?
Yeah, one of my favorite books is Atomic Habits. It's just basically how to break your habits. I think once you break those habits, things can change in your life. Whatever you don't like what's going on, just look at your habits and your day-to-day. And I think once you change those habits, things start to change.
Excellent. Brooke Cosley, women's basketball assistant coach at Wichita State. Brooke, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate you listening. Today, we're going to talk about women's basketball with Nick Bradford. Nick is an assistant coach on the Wichita State basketball team. He was hired in April to join Coach Terry Nooner's staff. Nick previously was the associate head coach for the boys' basketball team at Fayetteville High School in Fayetteville, Arkansas. He also coached girls' basketball for the Missouri Phenom AAU EYBL program. He played at the University of Kansas with Terry Nooner, also coached at Labette Community College and Missouri Southern. Nick, let's start by telling us about your journey here to Wichita State. How did you end up here? Why join Terry Nooner's staff?
Well, Terry and I go back to 96 class. Graduated from high school and we arrived on campus at KU. We were the only freshmen on that team, and so we kind of built a bond from there, and you know, just had a special relationship. Was roommates our junior and senior year of college, and then after college we stayed around a couple years in Lawrence, and we were roommates then, and so we lived together for about 5 years total, and just kind of dreamed and talked about one day coaching together, and didn't know where it would be, but it's just kind of funny. Years later, this is why I'm here at Wichita State.
What was your first impression of Terry Nooner?
You know, I was the only scholarship player, freshman coming into Kansas, and he was a walk-on, and so he kind of was a preferred walk-on, but had to do the tryouts and all that, and my first impression of him was he could really shoot that thing, and he came in really shooting the basketball well, and then when he got a part of our group, man, just a great guy. I mean, everybody loved Terry and wanted to follow Terry. It's kind of crazy. He was a walk-on, but, you know, just the way he carried himself, everybody kind of followed and his lead, and he was kind of a leader of all of us.
Take us back to young Nick Bradford. When did you decide coaching was the path for you after your playing days ended?
Well, when I was in college, Coach Roy Williams, I told him that I wanted to be an agent. When I was in college, I wanted to be an agent, and you know, he was always the one who told me that, you know, you can be an agent. But he said, man, you're basketball savvy and IQ, so I think you'd be a great coach. And, you know, he kind of put that in my head. And obviously when I was in high school, too, my older brother was my coach. He was my coach in high school and actually passed away my junior year in high school after a game. And his influence on all my friends and all the people of Fayetteville High School was super, super big. And so when Coach Williams put that in my ear about me becoming a coach, you know, I kind of thought back on my brother and how he changed lives. And so it was so that was kind of the first step of it.
I'm glad you mentioned that. We should tell people you are from Fayetteville, went to Fayetteville High School. How did you end up at the University of Kansas? How did you get away from the Razorbacks?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, 94, 95, my sophomore and junior year of high school, they were really good. They won the national championship in 94, lost in the national championship game in 95. So they really had it going. It was definitely tough to leave, but, man, Coach Williams and that program – history there, and I just felt like I could win a national championship there, and so it was kind of best of both worlds. It was close enough to home, you know, so all my family and friends could see me, but far enough where I could kind of create my own identity.
Saying no to Nolan Richardson, that would be did you call him, did you tell him, how did that go?
Absolutely. It was tough, and his son was on staff, Nolan Richardson III, and him and my brother who passed had played junior college basketball together, so it was a great relationship there, and so it was definitely tough to tell him, but I definitely appreciate all his things that he did for me and recruiting me, and the relationship that we had, and the relationship that his son had with my brother was awesome.
Great coach, Nolan Richardson. Wichita State fans of a certain age would remember him from the University of Tulsa. Nick, who's your – you've had a lot of great coaching mentors. What stands out about some of the things that you've learned and how they've influenced your coaching career?
Well, I've been really blessed and lucky to have some really good coaches. I mean, my brother obviously was the one who taught me how to play the game and told me the ins and outs and how to play the game the right way and be a great teammate and all those things. And then moving on to college, obviously with Coach Williams, and then some great assistant coaches there with Matt Doherty and Neil Doherty and Joe Holliday. And was fortunate enough to be part of that program. And then even I was lucky enough to play in professional overseas and play for some good coaches. Well, even before I got to overseas, I played in the ABA in Kansas City, and Kevin Pritchard, former KU player, won the national championship, is now the basketball of operations for the Indiana Pacers. And so his knowledge, you know, I took a lot from him. And mentioning Kevin, Danny Manning was a guy who was always around Lawrence during the summer times, and he's probably the best basketball mind, one of the top two basketball minds I've been around. And so he taught me a lot, just working me out in the summer times, and felt blessed for that. And then going overseas, I played in Iceland and played for their national team coach. When I was in France, I played for their national team coach. And then when I was in Finland, I played for their national team coach. And I learned a lot about the European game and learning things that are now kind of translating into the NBA, college basketball, the European games kind of come over here a little bit. And so I just feel lucky to have been learning from so many different people and so many different guys who know the game and different aspects of the game and different parts of the world, and just had a lot of good coaches, and that's why I feel like, you know, I'm just trying to give back and teach some of the kids some of the things that I've learned along the way.
So Roy Williams maybe puts this in your brain, a suggestion, coaching could be a future for me. Did you begin looking at the game and practices differently, maybe taking notes, taking mental notes about, you know, why does a coach do this in this situation? Did you start the process then?
Yeah, I guess so. And then he also told me, he used to tell me before he even told me that, Nick, you see the big picture. He said, defensively, you can see the big picture. You can read a couple steps ahead of the play. He said the same thing offensively. And then I started to kind of put those things together. And if Coach Williams is telling me I can see the big picture, I started to try to tune in a little bit more and learn as much as I could. And really my last 2 years, be a leader on the floor for our team. I played with a lot of NBA guys, so I was never the most talented guy on the team. So I had to, you know, be smart and diligent and know the game better than some to be able to play and be effective.
So you've coached at these different levels, high school, junior college, NCAA Division II at Missouri Southern. Having that kind of perspective, those kind of different experiences, how does that inform now what you're doing at the NCAA Division I level?
Well, you know, we've actually signed a couple junior college kids, and, you know, I try to relate that. I understand how that junior college system works. And then on the Division II level, we've signed a player from from Division II, and so I know how good the basketball is, first of all. You know, everybody talks about Division I, but they don't really understand sometimes of the JUCO or the Division II nature. And I can, when I'm recruiting kids, I kind of let them know I've been there and seen different things, and it doesn't really matter where you come from. It's just how you work and try to get to where you want to get to. And I try to relate that into the recruiting and to kids to give them a balance of knowing what's going on the floor and what kind of level they can play at.
So the Shockers are early in their summer workouts, a little over a week of practices, that kind of thing. Take us through that a little bit. What's the message? What's the priority here early in the summer?
Really just trying to set the tone, really being tougher mentally, physically, and in shape. You know, we want to be a team who plays fast and is disciplined and play the right way. So we're just trying to hone some of those things in. This summer we're taking a little, you know, Coach Nooner and I have talked about taking some things from Coach Williams structure-wise. And so structure-wise, this summer we've kind of let them every day we're going to have an offensive emphasis of the day, a defensive emphasis of the day, and a thought for the day. And try to just take it day by day and make sure we focus on little details and let them know that the small details become big. And so just really trying to hone in on that. At the same time, skill work and seeing what kids can do and what they can't do, and then just try to keep their strengths up and then make their weaknesses stronger.
Who's responsible for the thought of the day?
That is Coach Nooner, but, you know, we all suggest, and I'm, you know, Coach Costley and Coach Scales can suggest as well. I just kind of have that idea of some of the things that the thoughts of the day that Coach Williams used to have for me, for us, and so we still use some of the things that he did. So it's easy to go back and think of some of those thoughts for the day and all the ones we had every practices, and just to lock in, make sure kids are locked in for that day. So it's kind of secondhand for me, just with that structure. Because Coach Williams, is you play for him for 4 years, but that stuff sticks with you forever.
Seems like a very Dean Smith thing to do. I would not surprise me if Roy Williams has taken that from his days as a player.
No, it's not coach. Not a question at all. It is Dean Smith, and Coach Williams didn't keep it a secret. He told us, this is what Dean Smith did, this is what we're going to do. And at that time when we were playing, Coach Smith was still coaching, and so he definitely didn't shy away from letting us know that this stuff was coming from Dean Smith.
So you have 9 returners back from last season. Who's stepping up leadership-wise and helping during this time of transition?
I think DJ's done a great job. Lala's been great. Lala just brings that effort. She doesn't say a lot, but the way she plays hard and competes, and that's kind of how we want to establish our program, by being competitors and working hard, and Lala brings that every day.
So I understand the Shockers had a little team-building activity, went bowling. Give us a scouting report on the bowlers on this team.
For the ladies, Treasure seemed like she was the best of the girls. You know, she was talking a little trash and to the girls, and then she tried to talk a little trash to me, so I had to step my game up. And Jayla Murray, who we had on the visit, who actually signed with us this week, her parents, her dad, you know, was really competitive, and he started going at it a little bit, and so the juices got flowing, and we had a good time bowling.
How about from the coaching staff? Who was the best bowler?
Well, I was the best bowler. I was the best bowler, but, you know, and Terry will tell you, we competed everything. I mean, when we were in college, we compete to see who got to our front door first or who did this first. And so when it got to bowling, and especially in front of the girls, we talk about being competitive on the floor, but we kind of showed them a little bit, hey, even when it comes to this bowling, we're going to go out there and compete and try to win.
I understand Terry had taken bowling lessons.
Yeah, but Terry was, you know, he had a little spin to his game. I don't quite have the spin. I'm straightforward with power. But, yeah, he's pretty good, and I'm sure he's going to be looking for me again.
If the coaching staff were to play a game of horse, who would win that?
Oh,
no dunking. I was told when I asked this earlier, I said, well, there can't be any dunking because you would be the only person that could dunk.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how many times I could do that. When I get up there now, the knees and back don't feel great. But definitely Terry will probably win. You know, he's obviously the better shooter. But at the same time, I'm not sure, you know, if we got out there and started competing, I'm definitely going to try to win.
Is there a decoration, a picture, trophy maybe in your office that you attach particular significance to. Maybe it's really meaningful. Maybe it's something that you make sure to point out to a recruit and a recruit's family when they visit.
Well, I haven't gotten everything up my office yet. My wife just got in town this week, and she came by and took a look at it so she can decorate a little bit. But my 2019 Junior NBA Championship trophy will be in there. That is super, super big. Won that with a great group of girls. Global championship at Junior NBAs in Florida 2019, right before COVID hit. And that was a really, really special event. And the commissioner, NBA commissioner, handed me the award, Adam Silver. So that was a pretty big moment.
Played at University of Kansas, as we mentioned. Favorite memory from your time playing for the Jayhawks?
Man, such a lot of great ones. On the court, probably winning 3 Big 12 championships was awesome. Holding those trophies up to our crowd and saluting our crowd was awesome. You know, senior night was great for Terry and I. We beat Missouri, and I had a really great game to finish off my career there. But, you know, still keep in contact with most of my teammates, and that's where, you know, most of my memories are just off the court, hanging out, being great friends and those connections and those lifelong friendships.
Did Terry pass you the ball enough when you played together at the University
of Kansas? Oh yeah, man. We did a lot of things together, and on the court we were always looking for each other, always kept each other. Like I said again, we first got to Kansas, they were coming off an Elite Eight, everybody was back, and we were the two kids joining in, and so we just built that bond, and so we definitely was looking for each other in everything we did.
So Nick played for the University of Kansas from 96 to 2000. Nick, when you're not coaching, do you have hobbies? What do you do to maybe get away from the grind of recruiting and video and those kind of things?
Well, I mean, really just kind of spending time with my family, you know, being on the move a lot for basketball, that's kind of sacrifices sometimes, and just relaxing and being with them and being with my parent, my family there, and it's just time to kind of depress. I'm kind of a sports junkie, so I mean, I'm always watching sports, so it never leaves, but it's always good just to have some downtime, relax with the fam.
Besides basketball, what's your favorite sport to watch?
Oh, football.
Football.
Yeah, football for sure. I mean, I watch baseball. I really don't watch baseball a ton until the playoffs start. And I've gotten into hockey a little bit lately, watching a little bit of that. But yeah, football. I'm from Friday Night Lights High School to Saturday college football to Sunday and Monday. I just love watching it.
What's your favorite NFL team? That's a big question around here. You're kind of in the middle of a lot.
Growing up, Dallas Cowboys were my favorite team. I've transitioned into the last 10 years or so, just being around, you know, when I was in college, I was Nooner's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. So anything he liked, I didn't, you know, we always wanted to compete. But then I just, you know, fell in love with the Chiefs, and it's really the only NFL stadium I've ever been to. All the games I've been to, probably 10 or 15 games, have all been the Arrowhead. My family growing up was a Raiders fan, and so my mom and dad would take us up here to Kansas City and watch games. And so even as a kid, I was in Arrowhead. And so now I'm a Chiefs fan, so I think I'm okay around here being a Chiefs fan.
That's a good – yes, nothing good comes from being a Cowboys or a Raiders fan, exactly. So I'm glad you've made that move to being a Chiefs fan. I like to usually wrap up by asking people for a movie recommendation, TV show. Maybe there's a book that you'd like to recommend. What jumps out at you? What should the people check out?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I'm a big crime mystery guy, so I watch a lot of, you know, Law and Orders or Dateline in the 2020s. So I'm a big mystery and police and solving crime stuff. Movies I don't go to a ton, but I know that the next movie I want to see is the movie Air, about Michael Jordan and the Nike part of that business side. I've heard it was great. So definitely want to see that.
Okay. Nick Bradford, assistant coach for the Wichita State women's basketball team. Nick, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
It's over! It is over! Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.